Blog Talk Radio.
From the battle of international leaders to the failed state of U.S. leftism, and coming from a small, dank, hardly warmed and barely fed with electricity, but patriotic single wide trailer, Kelly O'Connell. Good morning to you. Feeling fit as a fiddle here. It is 6:06 in the morning, and it is the fourth day of the third month of 2015. Good morning to you. Let me get your temperature. It is not too bad out there. All right, my stupid phone. My stupid phone reset to Randlett, Utah, which I've never even heard of. And then I looked it up and like 200 people live there. I don't know why. Hopefully it is not some sort of a prophetic warning that I'm going to end up living there or something. But anyway, pretty nice outside. And I got 42 degrees for you right now. And looking a little cloudy today. it says 72 is going to be the high and 30 the low, so it's sounds like a pretty good day to me. All right, we got a lot of stuff going on, and the big deal that happened was, of course, Bibi Netanyahu coming and giving his speech to the Congress, which was an extraordinary event. And one of the commentators said, "I do not remember ever this level of vitriol or the bad feelings that are existing between these two leaders." And so some of the people are commenting, saying that the speech was right out of the Russian or the Cold War playbook, and fear-mongering and stuff. I don't think people understand the level of fear and danger, whether you're supporting Israel or not is not really the issue. The existential, that is the daily real danger that these people live under. You make a country the day your country is made, you're attacked by your enemies. On your holiest day, you're attacked again. I mean, you know, it has been really ridiculous, the stuff that these guys have had to go through. And what exactly is it that the Jewish people have done to warrant having pretty much half their numbers wiped out by Adolf Hitler, and not having a country for 2,000 years? And you hear me here. This is not really racial or anything. It is. Why is this one group of people picked out of the group to? And it's still going on. It is still going on in Europe. As a matter of fact, they're saying the European Jews are extremely nervous. They haven't been this nervous for decades, and they're thinking about relocating. Okay. Here's a little bit of Bibi Netanyahu, without permission, without an invitation from the President of the United States. He came over here to make his case, and he showed the world basically what real leadership is in one of the smallest countries in the whole world, able to come here and get an audience and influence people, while President Obama wouldn't supposedly even listen to it. So I hate to say this, I took a vow after Obama was reelected not to mention his name again. What difference would it make? But I'm ashamed of this guy. I mean, how can you treat one of our best allies like this? Call in, by the way, Frankie. Call in anybody else if you want to defend Obama on this. I don't even really understand where he's coming from. Anyway, here's a little bit of the speech.
Iran's regime is as radical as ever. Its cries of death to America, that same America that it calls the Great Satan, as loud as ever. Now, this shouldn't be surprising, because the ideology of Iran's revolutionary regime is deeply rooted in militant Islam. And that's why this regime will always be an enemy of America. And don't be fooled. The battle between Iran and ISIS doesn't turn Iran into a friend of America. Iran and ISIS are competing for the crown of militant Islam. One calls itself the Islamic Republic. The other calls itself the Islamic State. Both want to impose a militant Islamic empire, first on the region and then on the entire world. They just disagree among themselves who will be the ruler of that empire. In this deadly game of thrones, there's no place for America or for Israel. No peace for Christians, Jews, or Muslims who don't share the Islamist medieval creed. No rights for women, no freedom for anyone. So when it comes to Iran and ISIS, the enemy of your enemy is your enemy.
Powerful stuff there. Bibi Netanyahu is a war hero a number of times over. And the President of the United States has not been in the military doesn't appear to have a lot of enthusiasm for the military, doesn't put his hand over his heart when the Pledge of Allegiance is played, et cetera, et cetera. It is extraordinary that someone like that could be elected the President of the United States. The conflict in America over being patriotic and what we stand for. Netanyahu says in a speech, we must all stand together to stop Iran's march of conquest, subjugation, and terror. He's a critic of the deal, he says. So you see, my friends, this deal has two major concessions. One, leaving Iran. This is the deal that the West has made, the United States has made, to allow Iran to keep its nuclear program together. And you also heard that we threatened to bomb or to shoot down the jets from the Israelis when they were going to send them over to blow it up, the same way they did to Iraq. They did the world a huge favor when they blew up the Iraqi nuclear program. He says, so you see, my friends, this deal has two major concessions. One, leaving Iran with a vast nuclear program, and two, lifting the restrictions on that program in about a decade. That's why this deal is so bad. It doesn't block Iran's path to the bomb. It paves Iran's path to the bomb. Why? Since the United States was not in a position where we had to support this deal, and you see that, you know, basically we were in a power position. We could have done anything that we wanted. We didn't have to give in to this, situation. Why is it that we would have to, why would we need to support this deal? I mean, it doesn't make any sense, you know? I mean, even people who are enthusiastic about this present group of people in the White House, I haven't heard a very good, I just simply have not heard a good explanation of what's going on there. All right, here's a little Lubin Brothers. We'll take a break and come back. I'll play you some more excerpts from that speech. Lubin Brothers playing the classic, the most classic performers out of the history of country music and old country. And here's the Lubin Brothers, are considered to be the greatest duo in the history of country music. And here is a song called I Don't Believe You've Met My Baby. And one of them just died. The other one died a long time ago. One of them was like very, very mentally ill and did a lot of evil things. But anyway, here's the Lubin Brothers, I Don't Believe You've Met My Baby, live. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in. 615. And it is 42 degrees outside right now. And we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about this situation between Israel and the United States and militant Islam in Iran. Be right back.
Ara and Charlie, the Lubin Brothers.
Last night, my dear, the rain was falling. Then I had a dream of you. I dreamed I was rolling in the evening underneath the harvest moon. I was thinking about you.
K Kelly here, and I just wanted to let you know that there was this situation that's come up between the Israelis and the Americans, and the sticking point is the leftist view of Israel. It would be impossible to know exactly what the president believes based on the difference between his rhetoric and his actions, but you have to assume that his actions represent his beliefs. It seems like he's got a real problem with Benjamin Netanyahu. He's one of our greatest allies here. And here is just a little summary of that from Jake Tapper. And I think I'm going to play a little chunk of the speech itself a little bit more than I have, so you can kind of get a feel for it. Here is Jake Tapper on this, and Wolf Blitzen.
Netanyahu was wrong in his dire predictions about what would happen earlier as far as Iran's nuclear program.
That's right, Wolf. And let's take a look at this from 30,000 feet, beyond the mano-a-mano showdown between President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu, which is really quite remarkable in the history of relationships between the United States and Israel. We've really never seen anything like this, the degree of animosity between the two countries' leaders. But most important, beyond all the psychodrama, is the fact that this is about a potential deal of preventing a nuclear weapons program with Iran. So when President Obama takes a shot at Benjamin Netanyahu's credibility, pointing out that all the dire predictions Netanyahu made in 2013 about this interim deal, none of them came true. Yes, on one level, that is about the personal animus between the two. But on another level, Obama is making the argument to Congress, you cannot trust this guy when it comes to deals with Iran. I know what I'm doing. He does not. Conversely, Netanyahu making the same case to Congress later today. I know what's best, he's going to say, about the safety, security, and the very existence of Israel. And President Obama is almost a little naive. That is what's going on. And really, the stakes could not be higher. We are talking about potentially the existence of Israel.
That's the point that Netanyahu is going to...
All right, so I've got this speech queued up for you. Let's listen to a little bit of it. I'll give you the introduction here. We'll play some of this. It's about 16 minutes long. Check this out. It's Bibi Netanyahu addressing Congress in Washington, D.C.
Speaker of the House, John Boehner. President pro temp, Senator Orrin Hatch. Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell. House Minority Leader, Nancy Pelosi. And House Majority Leader, Kevin McCarthy. I also want to acknowledge Senator Democratic Leader, Harry Reid. Harry, it's good to see you back on your feet. I guess it's true what they say, you can't keep a good man down. My friends, I'm deeply humbled by the opportunity to speak for a third time before the most important legislative body in the world, the U.S. Congress. I want to thank you all for being here today. I know that my speech has been the subject of much controversy. I deeply regret that some perceive my being here as political. That was never my intention. I want to thank you, Democrats and Republicans, for your common support for Israel, year after year, decade after decade. I know that no matter on which side of the aisle you sit, you stand with Israel. remarkable alliance between Israel and the United States has always been above politics. It must always remain above politics. Because America and Israel, we share a common destiny, the destiny of promised lands that cherish freedom and offer hope. Israel is grateful for the support of America's people and of America's presidents, from Harry Truman to Barack Obama. We appreciate all that President Obama has done for Israel. Now, some of that is widely known. Some of that is widely known, like strengthening security cooperation and intelligence sharing, opposing anti-Israeli resolutions at the UN. Some of what the president has done for Israel is less well known. I called him in 2010 when we had the Carmel forest fire, and he immediately agreed to respond to my request for urgent aid. In 2011, we had our embassy in Cairo under siege, and again, he provided vital assistance at the crucial moment. Or his support for more missile interceptors during our operation last summer when we took on Hamas terrorists. In each of those moments, I called the president and he was there. And some of what the president has done for Israel might never be known because it touches on some of the most sensitive and strategic issues that arise between an American president and an Israeli prime minister. But I know it, and I will always be grateful to President Obama for that support. And Israel is grateful to you, the American Congress, for your support, for supporting us in so many ways, especially in generous military assistance and missile defense, including Iron Dome. Last summer, millions of Israelis were protected from thousands of Hamas rockets because this Capitol Dome helped build our Iron Dome. Thank you, America. Thank you for everything you've done for Israel. My friends, I've come here today because as Prime Minister of Israel, I feel a profound obligation to speak to you about an issue that could well threaten the survival of my country and the future of my people: Iran's quest for nuclear weapons. We're an ancient people. In our nearly 4,000 years of history, many have tried repeatedly to destroy the Jewish people. Tomorrow night, on the Jewish holiday of Purim, we'll read the book of Esther. We'll read of a powerful Persian viceroy named Haman, who plotted to destroy the Jewish people some 2,500 years ago. But a courageous Jewish woman, Queen Esther, exposed the plot and gained for the Jewish people the right to defend themselves against their enemies. The plot was foiled. Our people were saved. Today, the Jewish people face another attempt by yet another Persian potentate to destroy us. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, spews the oldest hatred of anti-Semitism with the newest technology. He tweets that Israel must be annihilated. He tweets. You know, in Iran, there isn't exactly free internet. But he tweets in English that Israel must be destroyed. For those who believe that Iran threatens the Jewish state, but not the Jewish people, listen to Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, Iran's chief terrorist proxy. He said, if all the Jews gather in Israel, it will save us the trouble of chasing them down around the world. But Iran's regime is not merely a Jewish problem, any more than the Nazi regime was merely a Jewish problem. The 6 million Jews murdered by the Nazis were but a fraction of the 60 million people killed in World War II. So too, Iran's regime poses a grave threat, not only to Israel, but also to the peace of the entire world. To understand just how dangerous Iran would be with nuclear weapons, we must fully understand the nature of the regime. The people of Iran are very talented people. They're heirs to one of the world's great civilizations. But in 1979, they were hijacked by religious zealots who imposed on them immediately a dark and brutal dictatorship. That year, the zealots drafted a constitution, a new one for Iran. It directed the Revolutionary Guards not only to protect Iran's borders, but also to fulfill the ideological mission of jihad. The regime's founder, Ayatollah Khomeini, exhorted his followers to export the revolution throughout the world. I'm standing here in Washington, D.C., and the difference is so stark. America's founding document promises life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Iran's founding document pledges death, tyranny, and the pursuit of jihad. And as states are collapsing across the Middle East, Iran is charging into the void to do just that. Iran's goons in Gaza, its lackeys in Lebanon, its revolutionary guards on the Golan Heights are clutching Israel with three tentacles of terror. Backed by Iran, Assad is slaughtering Syrians. Backed by Iran, Shiite militias are rampaging through Iraq. Backed by Iran, Houthis are seizing control of Yemen.
Folks, we'll take a break there. I don't know if you're enjoying the speech as much as I am. He was very deferential at the beginning. Here's a little more Lubin Brothers, 523-1450 to call in. But it's absolutely extraordinary that the leader of Israel was able to come here and get an audience against the will of the President of the United States. I think it shows a couple of things, the desperation of the Israelis, number one. A second would be that this president is not, he's not, you know, he when he came into office, he didn't have a lot of experience. He still lacks experience in a lot of ways. He gets outmaneuvered, not infrequently, and he was really outmaneuvered here. The president is also lacking support on Capitol Hill. He's never made friends there. He's always, they say, considered himself to be above politics, believe it or not, when he seems like the most political person we've ever had in office. But anyway, a little more Lubin Brothers. I don't believe you met my baby. Kelly O'Connell, 634. We'll be right back.
And then you met me in the
moonlight. The stars were shining in your eyes. But another was that you.
Folks, let's just play a little bit more of this speech because he's getting into the meat and potatoes. The prime minister has explained the debt that the Jews, the Israelis owe to the Americans, and now getting into this threat. He was just talking about the three prongs that radical Islam is putting out to try to master Israel.
Threatening the strategic straits at the mouth of the Red Sea, along with the Straits of Hormuz, that would give Iran a second choke point on the world's oil supply. Just last week, near Hormuz, Iran carried out a military exercise, blowing up a Mach U.S. aircraft carrier. That's just last week, while they're having nuclear talks with the United States. But unfortunately, for the last 36 years, Iran's attacks against the United States have been anything but mock, and the targets have been all too real. Iran took dozens of Americans hostage in Tehran, murdered hundreds of American soldiers, Marines, in Beirut, and was responsible for killing and maiming thousands of American servicemen and women in Iraq and Afghanistan. Beyond the Middle East, Iran attacks America and its allies through its global terror network. It blew up the Jewish Community Center and the Israeli embassy in Buenos Aires. It helped Al-Qaeda bomb U.S. embassies in Africa. It even attempted to assassinate the Saudi ambassador right here in Washington, D.C. In the Middle East, Iran now dominates four Arab capitals, Baghdad, Damascus, Beirut, and Sana'a. And if Iran's aggression is left unchecked, more will surely follow. So at a time when many hope that Iran will join the community of nations, Iran is busy gobbling up the nations. We must all stand together to stop Iran's march of conquest, subjugation, and terror. Now, 2 years ago, we were told to give President Rouhani and Foreign Minister Zarif a chance to bring change and moderation to Iran. Some change, some moderation. Rouhani's government hangs gays, persecutes Christians, jails journalists, and executes even more prisoners than before. Last year, the same Zarif, who charms Western diplomats, laid a wreath at the grave of Imad Mournia. Imad Mournia is the terrorist mastermind who spilled more American blood than any other terrorist besides Osama bin Laden. I'd like to see someone ask him a question about that. Iran's regime is as radical as ever. Its cries of death to America, that same America that it calls the Great Satan, as loud as ever. Now, this shouldn't be surprising, because the ideology of Iran's revolutionary regime is deeply rooted in militant Islam. And that's why this regime will always be an enemy of America. And don't be fooled. The battle between Iran and ISIS doesn't turn Iran into a friend of America. Iran and ISIS are competing for the crown of militant Islam. One calls itself the Islamic Republic. The other calls itself the Islamic State. Both want to impose a militant Islamic empire, first on the region and then on the entire world. They just disagree among themselves who will be the ruler of that empire. In this deadly game of thrones, there's no place for America or for Israel. No peace for Christians, Jews, or Muslims who don't share the Islamist medieval creed. No rights for women, no freedom for anyone. So when it comes to Iran and ISIS, the enemy of your enemy is your enemy. The difference is that ISIS is armed with butcher knives, captured weapons, and YouTube, whereas Iran could soon be armed with intercontinental ballistic missiles and nuclear bombs. We must always remember, I'll say it one more time, the greatest danger facing our world is the marriage of militant Islam with nuclear weapons. To defeat ISIS and let Iran get nuclear weapons would be to win the battle but lose the war. We can't let that happen.
So there's the speech, and from what I understand, it wasn't carried on the major networks. But all right, here's a little bit more Lubin Brothers for you, and Kelly O'Connell will be right back. 6:42, and it is about mid-40s out there right now, and it is 6:42. 523-1450 to call in. And you're listening to KOBE, the Kelly O'Connell Show, on the fourth day of the third month, 2015. Be right back.
I got to tell you, I am very excited to be here. I've had a great week. I just got an electric car. Sweet. It is sweet. It's in the shop now. We're having a gas engine put in it, but I love it. Oh, it is the best. It's so unique, you know. I just missed gassing up my car. And, you know, petroleum now, the gas prices are coming down so much. But they'll go back up again. It's all confusing. And I don't get it because I was in the pharmacy a couple days ago. I saw the petroleum jelly has not gone up 1 cent. Too bad our car is going to run on petroleum jelly. That would be pretty cool. Be hard to get it in there, though, but you get it in there. You work it in there. You work it in. You do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, this thing is a babe magnet, which I don't need because I've been married for the last 13 years. But I still like to look, though. I'll tell you that. I'll be honest with you. I got a wandering eye. But luckily, my other eye is a lazy eye. So it's a push. They cancel each other out. The wandering eye is like, hey, baby, why don't you go back to my place and have a little drink? And then the lazy eye comes around. Oh, this looks like a lot of work. Let's just have a cookie, huh? Somebody asked me last week what my best pickup line was. And, you know, like I said, I've been married for the last 13 years. So my best pickup line is, hey, are you awake? Right? Anyway, so
Kelly here, I didn't mean to play that whole speech, but you know, I figured you would. It wasn't that long, and I figured you'd probably want to know what all the fuss was about. And there's certain people who skipped the speech, including 8 senators, all Democrats, and an independent Bernie Sanders. And from the House, you had 36 people who skipped the House. And I just think that, you know, I think it's shameful to treat an ally like that. And you might say, well, what right does he have to come over here and force his opinions on us? He feels like he can't get a hearing. And I'll tell you, the country has been attacked repeatedly. If it wasn't for how inept, if they weren't so inept in attacking the Jews, they would have been toast a long time ago. But this little nation has repeatedly beat back larger armies. And So anyway, that was the speech by Benjamin Netanyahu. Let's go over some headlines. Huge issue right now, huge deal that Hillary has decided to, when she went into the Secretary of State position, she immediately opened her own email service, did not use the state service, the government service, which I believe is illegal. I think it's illegal, but you would have to do some research on that. It would get rid of the reason of having an email. And then the guy, Ed Rendell, who used to be the governor of Pennsylvania, said, I don't see what the big deal is. After all, government servers are not secure. That's got to be the worst excuse I've ever heard in my life. That's even worse than the dog ate my homework. And so anyway, she's in a little bit of hot water. Who knows? I mean, some people are saying she's an absolute lock to get in there, and other people are saying she is just so, we're so over her. All right, some more headlines. Alabama Supreme Court's halt gay marriages. Now, let me ask you this. Is gay marriage, and too bad we don't have the super evangelist of homosexuality, Bill McCamley, here to sing a little YMCA and explain why he supports it. You know, I think Bill McCamley just supports whatever's popular. And we do have a call here. Is Bill, is that you? This is Kelly. Who's this?
This is Bill's son.
Who? Sounds like a Chinese menu item. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Kelly, I wanted to know, with Bonner punting this illegal immigration thing to the courts now?
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen? I mean,
that's a great question. I don't know. But I think that they're doing is Boehner doesn't believe that it's a winner to go in and fight it tooth and nail. And if he hands it over to the court and the court invalidates it, which the court has already pushed back on this, then it's a win-win for the Republicans. The Republicans are trying to figure out a way to win this issue when Phyllis Schlafly says it's the most transparent attempt she's ever seen to influence elections. And so the upshot is that if they can get enough illegals in and make them citizens, the illegals are default Democrats, and that they'll win election after election, even in places like Texas.
Well, I just read in Drudge where the judge has halted like 100,000 applications or something.
Well, there's a battle going on in the court system, and I have to assume that Boehner at some level has got an interest in surviving himself and realizes that if they don't do anything, number one, it's just going to tilt the field towards the Democrats, number one, and number two, it's going to put his own job into jeopardy. So everybody has at least a minimum level of interest in self-survival, you know?
It's really interesting. You know, I mean, he's not dumb. I mean, I think he's a drunk, you know? I think he's one of those should be an AA.
Who?
He should be an AA. Boehner.
Have you partied with him or something?
No, but I mean, the other, you know, when you had on, who is that representative for New Mexico that you had on?
Steve Pierce.
Yeah, and he said that when they go behind closed doors, Boehner's like smoking cigarettes and drinking, you know?
Yeah, putting on a little Charlie Rich.
Huh?
Putting on Charlie Rich, you know, behind closed doors. Mike, all right, get to your point here. I'm running out of time, as you know. Get to your point.
Well, I just think Boehner should go to AA.
All right, folks, let's all pray. Let's all pray for a minute and ask for John Boehner to go to AA. Any other requests, Mike?
No, have a nice day.
Hey,
Thank you, Coach.
Mike, I got some Kevin Nealon. You're going to love this. Don't turn off the radio before 7. Thanks a lot for the call. Have a good day. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Folks, a little bit to lighten the spirits here, or in honor of John Boehner, lighten the spirits, raise a toast. Here we go. Kevin Nealon, I thought this was pretty funny. You know what I found out about comedy? You have to sit there and listen to hour after hour of comedians on YouTube to find one good clip. It's sad. these comedians mostly need their mouths washed out with soap, but check this out. Kevin Nealon.
You guys can follow me on Twitter or on Amber Alert. Those two things right there. My Twitter is at Kevin_Nealon, and my Amber Alert, it's a blue El Camino Nevada license plate. So anyway, this year I've decided I would like to take more risks in life. And by risks, I'm talking about trying new restaurants. There is a restaurant in my neighborhood, a Korean restaurant, and I've been going by this place for the last 6 years. I never tried it. And 2 weeks ago, I said, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. And I did. And guess what? Horrible, horrible food. I think it's a nail salon during the day or something. I don't know. But not good, not good. But you know what? I'm trying new foods. I have a friend that doesn't try new foods. He eats the same food every day, pretty much. I don't think he's ever had Italian food. It's odd. I mean, he also doesn't, he thinks he can't get a disease if he hasn't heard of it. Sometimes when we're in an argument, and I'm, you know, angry at him, I'll just start yelling out rare diseases. You're like, diverticulitis, fibromyalgia. And if I can't think of a rare disease, I'll yell at an Italian dish. You know, he doesn't know. Penne arrabbiata. He thinks it's a rare disease. Bruschetta. He's confined to his house right now with the deadly fusilli bolognese. I'm not kidding around. He called his doctor. He said, what should I do for a fusilli bolognese? The doctor said, just, you know, boil some water. Throw it in there. But you know what? Everyone's got their own fears. We all.
I'm going to play his fears next hour. You're going to love him. Anyway, Kelly there here. And do you think that Obama should have been at the speech last night? I mean, it would have been interesting, huh? When people try to control things and they leave their control, sometimes they're very upset. I assume that Obama must have been infuriated. I've got a little clip from him right here on this deal.
It may be that Iran cannot say yes to a good deal. I have repeatedly said that I would rather have no deal than a bad deal. But if we're successful negotiating, then, in fact, this will be the best deal possible to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon. Nothing else comes close. Sanctions won't do it. Even military action would not be as successful as the deal that we have put forward. I think it is very important not to be distracted by the nature of the Iranian regime's ambitions when it comes to territory or terrorism, all issues which we share a concern with Israel about and are working consistently with Israel on. Because we know that if, in fact, they obtained a nuclear weapon, all those problems would be worse. So we're staying focused on the central issue here. How do we prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon?
I assume you keep Iran from getting a nuclear weapon by making them shut down their program, not saying go ahead with your nuclear facilities and don't do anything bad with it. I mean, that's so many things that this president says that not only don't really pass the sniff test, but are logically inconsistent and impossible to really take seriously. I think that is probably, if I was Obama, that would be, depending on whatever his real
thoughts
are.
Here we are trying to.
The hardest thing for me to accept would be the fact that people don't take me seriously and discard many or most or maybe even all the things that I say. Don't take them seriously. Don't feel like they're made out of a good intentions, a good heart, clean hands, that they're not intellectually of merit. They're not of sound common sense. They're not American. I think that would be hard for me to accept, but the president seems to be either unaware of this or totally indifferent. So anyway, I guess you could say this is talk radio kicking the president around, but I just, you know, in detail after detail, and we do have a call here. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? We're running out of time.
Hey, this is Randy Lynch. I just want to say thank you for playing that clip. Yes, Obama definitely should have been
Call back in the next hour if you want to. Thank you very much. All right, folks, here's a little bit of Lubin Brothers. We'll take you out.
I don't believe you've met my baby. You looked at him, you looked at me. I wonder who you were talking to. I shook the hand of your stranger, but I was shaking more inside.
Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's Betty.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, just disgusted with the whole thing, same as you. What do you know about the city council recall?
I heard that it was off, and then I heard it was on. I talked to the major players. They told me it was on. Another unnamed source told me that it was off. So another individual said that it was Peter Goodman kind of laying out some misinformation. Did you want to come on the air and discuss it a little bit?
Oh, just, I was just hoping
Betty,
you had
Betty,
some news.
Mothership to Betty. Let's talk about it on the air.
Okay. All right. I'll stay.
And listen, plug the Tea Party a little bit. And there's a meeting coming up on Thursday that is crucial that somebody attend. I've got an email about it. I got to read it. We're on the air. Hold on.
Okay.
It's Kelly here. Good morning to you. We played some Benjamin Netanyahu. I never know if people can hear me. That's why I'm shouting in this stupid stuff they play in the background on this program. I never know if you can hear me. That's why I'm probably shouting into your ears. But I've got Betty Russell here. She called up to ask about the recall. Betty Russell, she's involved with the Tea Party. She's a real bit. She's a small lady, but she's a real big patriot. And Betty, thanks for calling into the show. How's it going this morning?
Oh, like I told you a second ago, just disgusted with the whole thing. That's what Republicans get for electing Boehner again. I'm just disgusted with everything. But that doesn't help, I'm sure. Anyway, I just wondered if you had any news about the city council recall.
So I was given news from a highly sourced person who is by definition must remain anonymous and was told that it was off. And I announced that. And then I couldn't get a hold of Jeffrey Isbell for days. And I couldn't get a hold of Pam Wolf and the people that were involved with it, and I finally made some calls, and I was said, hey, listen, hold on a second. It's not over. They're not even done counting yet. How could it be over? And we've got enough signatures by definition if they're accepted. And somebody had said that the rumor that it was over had kind of gone back to Peter Goodman, and I really don't know about that. Supposedly, he sent out a pre-example or an early edition of his column in which it explained how the whole thing was over, and then when he published it, it wasn't in there. I have no idea about that. I'm just repeating what I heard, and then he backed off that. That's what I heard. I don't know anything about that. Peter, if you're listening, feel free to call in and clear the air on that. But so I've been told by the people involved that it's still on and that they're still in other words, they're still working on it. As far as they know, nothing has been communicated to them about the recall that suggests that it's over. And if it were over, according to the city, then it might go to the court. So that's what I've heard.
Okay. I was just curious. I hadn't seen anything in the paper at all. So I was
they
just
may be embargoing
it,
Betty. I know this is a shocking idea, but the paper may be embargoing the idea.
Yes, true. That is very true. Anyway, you know, maybe you could give out that number to call the radio station again to
523-1450.
No, I meant to call so that we can call in to hopefully keep your show on the air expand it.
Well, I have been, I was taken to the woodshed a little bit about that. I'm still a little sore sitting down, but the station did tell me that they were interested in listener feedback. There's some stuff in the works that I'm not allowed to talk about, but so I asked for people to call up and support the show if you want to keep local radio. Obviously, from my perspective, it's about me, but the issue here is much larger than me. If somebody came in and took my place, the real issue here is local radio. Folks, we got to have a voice. And whether the left realizes this or not, I have never denied anybody an opportunity to come on and talk about whatever they're into. It could be, you know, it could be social stuff. It could be arts or whatever. But if it's if you're on the farthest left, I'll bring you on and I'll give you a microphone and let you get your piece out there. It's important that we have a venue for a local community. And this is live. We can get stuff out immediately. We can get point, counterpoint. We can get reaction from the crowd. I've got Ben Ross in here, by the way, and he and I have talked about this many times, the importance. Ben is about giving out his number and saying, I'm the one person on the council you can always get a hold of. I'm the one person that is willing to come on the air and talk, you know, take listeners' calls and stuff. Betty, we need to keep a forum for the community. It's not about left or right.
You're correct. And people here, you know, need to know behind behind the scenes, what the city council and the county commissioners are doing. And, you know, when they have meetings during the day, when everybody works, it's pretty hard for the community to participate. So, you know, I think we do need that voice.
We need a voice. And folks, like I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I had tried to get everybody who was running for office last election cycle on the air, and a poison letter was sent out to avoid me. It was sent out, of course, by the gay evangelist Bill McCamley, and I think it only hurt the left. I mean, you know, the Democratic Party ended up losing some seats that might have been more competitive if they had put their message out, whatever their message is, by the way. But it's only harmful to spread malice, and you know, I understand Bill McCamley has some serious emotional problems and probably should be sent back to kindergarten and forced to repeat his education. But anyway, 527-1111, 527-1111. The station director, Mike McKay, is one of the nicest people that you'll ever meet. He spent his entire life in broadcasting. He's got just one of those beautiful classic voices. He and I've talked about this. They do want input on all of the stations. So if you want to call up just remember, though, these guys gave me a chance to come on before I had any commercial radio experience, and I owe them a lot. There's nobody in this building that's not a nice person. So when you show up, you know, I know that the people on the right tend to be a little bit more polite. But, Betty, what's going on with the Tea Party and the recall and some of the other stuff that's going on? How engaged are you guys? What's the Tea Party up to?
Well, you know, we're trying, well, as we have in the past, right now, you know, deal with the immigration issue and try to educate people. I don't know exactly. You had some news that perhaps I'm not aware of, so
which
go ahead.
Was what?
With the Tea Party.
I don't know. But here, listen to this, Betty. And folks, talking to Betty Russell, she's one of the real pillars of the Tea Party. Kelly, I just got an email. Kelly, 1:30 p.m., commission chambers at the county building on Motel Boulevard, Thursday the 5th. Folks, somebody has got to go to this and find out what's going on. It's a planning and zoning commission workshop. I was told by somebody that they're going to force us to put charging stations in our houses. And I don't know if that's just in new builds in new houses or if it's for everybody. But the left, you saw that there were three votes, and Ben has come on and talked about this. Three votes, Betty and folks out there, three votes on taxes. We voted it down, and then we're told that by the county commission that we've just got to accept it. It's going to be stuffed down our throat like, you know, like so much medicine. They're forcing a tax on us to replace $100,000 lost. They're going to bring in $10 or $12 million. Betty, that's the kind of thing that the Tea Party is just that's the kind of thing it was born out of, right?
Right, and we, a bunch of us, were at that meeting that you're talking about, and it's just totally discouraging to see that they and that's why the radio is important. It's we need a voice. We need to let the people know what they're doing, because that's what they were thinking. They could just do it without anybody knowing, and then it's over with. And at that meeting, I could see they were, to me, they seemed determined to do it regardless of what the community wants. So that's, you know, I guess my other reason, and yours and everybody else's, for needing a voice on the radio, a local voice.
Is there anything that you'd like to say to Ben Ross, and he's right here, so maybe some of your concerns on the county commission?
Well, just what I expressed already. I do talk to Ben Ross as often as I can, and, you know, I appreciate, you know, everything he's doing, but I'm sure he knows more about what they're doing about this upcoming meeting, and I understand the March meeting, they're supposed to decide whether they're going to do this tax and how much. So I would prefer to let Ben, because I'm sure he's more informed than I am.
Good morning, Betty, and thank you for those kind words.
You're welcome. What is going on? Sometimes I'm, you know, out of town for a few days and I get behind. So,
well, Betty, a couple different things. The meeting that Kelly mentioned earlier on Thursday at 1:30 is for the Doñana County Comprehensive Plan. And that is a 20-year planning document, and so certainly we need people involved on that to make it the best that it can be. So I would encourage any listeners out there, Kelly, any of your listeners, to come join us for that meeting and have some input. The comprehensive plan can be found in draft form on the DoñanaCounty.org website, and even if you're not able to attend, take a read on that and put in some comments. We'd love to hear from you.
Sounds good. I know I tried reading that plan a while back, and you know, the Agenda 21 freaked with, and so I honestly haven't read it lately, so I don't know.
Might help to bone up on your Russian, Betty.
The Russian, yes. So anyway, I will get off the air and let you guys talk.
Thanks so much for calling in, Betty. And when is your what are the Tea Party meetings?
They are the third Thursday of every month at 6:30 at Mountain View Christian Church on Three Crosses.
And how about a phone number?
Well, people can call me or Bev, Courtney. My phone number is 680-4904.
Thank you very much, Betty, and we'll talk to you soon. Folks, let me get to, well, here's a little more Kevin Nealon to lighten the mood here. Kevin Nealon talking about how he used to be afraid of sharks and now he's afraid of chimpanzees. But I'm telling you, this is like, I don't know, this is like reading romances. You have to put in hundreds of hours to get 5 minutes of something good here. But here's Kevin Nealon. We'll be right back. Got Ben Rossin here. We're going to fill you in on what's going on locally.
He called his doctor. He said, what should I do for Fusilli Bolognese? The doctor said, just, you know, boil some water. Throw it in there. But you know what? Everyone's got their own fears. We all have our own fears. Mine for a long time, and it doesn't have to be rational. Mine was sharks for a long time. But no more. Now, chimpanzees. Have you read about these chimpanzee attacks? They rip your face off. They go for the crotch. I'm not talking about the cute little chimpanzee with the sweater vest and the suspenders. That's Larry King. I'm talking. No. I'm talking about the big strength of four grown men chimpanzees. Four grown men. That's the number they come up with all the time. It's four grown men. They must have done a study at one point, you know, to figure that out. They start with one grown man, you know, get in the cage with that chimp. Let's see who's stronger. Oh, no, two grown men. Three, until they get to four. It cost six lives, that study. But it's worth it. They got their answer. It's four. But at least with a shark attack, there's no drama. You know, it just pulls you down. There's no mess. You're like, hey, you know, you're gone. Your friends don't even know it. They're like on the beach, you know, where's Kevin? I think he's at the snack bar. Throw him the frisbee. But with the chimpanzee attack, can you imagine the horror? It probably sneaks up behind you, like on one of those little tricycles. And I'm telling you, the last minute, that horn on the handlebar, hey, they turn around, face, and crotch. They get your jaw so that you can't bite them. That's what they do. And then they go for the crotch. But seriously, who wants to have sex at this point? Not me. Because like I said, I've been married for the last 13 years.
Put their stuff on and get these things straight.
So did you get some angry calls into this station?
Kelly here. I got Ben Ross, and we were trying to figure out the state song that Bill McCamley was trying to bring in, whether it was YMCA by the Village People in the Navy. Malola by the Kinks, you know, which, cause he's, you know, he's here to teach us. Anyway, Ben, thanks for coming on the show. As always, very informative and so important to get your perspective on this. Sometimes the minority has a majority of truth in their opinion, you know? It happens sometimes.
Kelly, you're right, and a case in point is this gross receipts tax issue that's coming up before the county, and that's kind of what I want to focus on this morning, if we can.
Emphasis on gross.
Emphasis on gross. So we've got the county commission is going to vote on March 24th, in about a little bit less than 3 weeks, on whether or not to raise the gross receipts tax countywide by 0.375%. That would impact all of the municipalities as well. And that's through the hold harmless legislation authorization. So for those of you living in the town of Las Cruces or Anthony or Mesilla, who've already increased their gross receipts tax by 0.375%, this would be on top of that, bringing the city rate all the way up to 8.3 something. It would be a very high tax rate for this community, and that's what we're fighting.
All right, and so what's the best case argument for their position? What is their argument?
You know, Kelly, we heard a little bit yesterday in the county commission meeting on five different reasons that they needed to raise the gross receipts tax. I would point out that none of those five dealt with the hold harmless, and that's what this is put together for, is to the hold harmless legislation. For those of your listeners who may not be aware, back in the Richardson administration, when they took off the tax on health and medicine and food, they increased the gross receipts tax to 5.25% statewide. And then what they did is they took they gave a portion of that back to the counties so that the counties wouldn't lose out, counties and cities, on the gross receipts tax that they would have otherwise received on those two categories of items that were no longer taxed. To put that in perspective, last year, the county commission received, or the Doñana County received, $1.8 million in hold harmless funding. So that's now being phased out. The county will lose approximately $100,000 next year. With that being said, if we pass this gross receipts tax, we'll have solved that $100,000 problem by raising your taxes by $14.3 million.
It's a lot of money.
You know, it's absolutely silly. And to have it under the guise of the hold harmless, saying the state's taking away money from us, so we're going to have to raise it. Okay, then we need to raise it $100,000, not $14.3 million. And that's what the numbers are, Kelly.
And do you feel like that it's been a disinformation, that there's been a false, basically, impression that some of the county commissioners have put out there in terms of replacing this income?
Oh, absolutely, Kelly. You know, that everyone wants to talk that the state's taken something away, but when you actually start looking at the numbers, and I'll give kudos to Senator John Arthur Smith, who was very available and helped me, those numbers were. But, you know, when you start looking at those numbers, there's absolutely no rationalization for this other than we just want to spend more money.
And could you mention again how much over budget we are?
Absolutely, Kelly. Last year, we were $15 million more spending than we had revenue coming in. And the budget that was approved for the current fiscal year that we're in spends $24 million more than what we're bringing in. That's now you can see why they want more money.
All right, so let's just say, give them the benefit of the doubt. We absolutely need this extra spending. It's unheard of, the needs and the crises that are happening in the county. What are they using it for?
You know, a big one is public safety, specifically the sheriff's department. You've seen plenty of information about the sheriff's department being short on vehicles, the Dalmatian fleet, as they're calling it.
Well, I think it's bad when you see the sheriff's hitchhiking, you know, down the road and trying to get to a crime scene, you know.
Right. And so last meeting, Kelly, we purchased or authorized purchasing of 15 new sheriff's vehicles. And that was in the budget, and we have 15 that we're looking at next year.
Was that $25 million to buy those 15 vehicles?
No, it was about $51,000 a vehicle, and I'm not quick enough on my calculator there to give you that total off the top of my head.
Well, that would be, less than $1 million, right?
Absolutely. Certainly less than $1 million.
I'm on to the bonus round. All right, so there's not incredible crises that the deficit spending is meeting, in other words?
You know, I do think that we need to give more attention to the Sheriff's Department. There's no question in that.
But let's get down to brass tacks here. Let's talk about what the money that the deficit spending is going to, not whether we need to support the Sheriff's Department. Obviously, we do. But what is the, you know, what is this extra money going? Because we had a rainy day fund. Some genius who was in the county commission saved up $100 million, and now it's being dissipated. And somebody told me that they overheard one of the county commissioners saying it was the duty of the commission to spend the rainy day fund as if it were, you know, and like it was food that had to be given away before it went stale, that type of thing.
That argument has been made many times, Kelly, and it sounds very logical right on the surface. This is the people's money, and we need to put it to the people's use. And I understand that. That makes sense. But keep in mind that any money right now, that fund, or at the beginning of the year, was about $74 million. That money earns interest, and that interest allows a decreased tax burden on the residents of Doñana County. So just because it's sitting in the bank doesn't mean it's not providing a benefit to the county resident.
Do you know why some of the county commission may believe that it's their duty to spend a rainy day fund as if it was a burden put on them? There's a moral or ethical burden on them to spend the rainy day fund.
Kelly, I think that anytime you give politicians extra money, they'll always find ways to spend it. They'll find ways to spend it. And so that is a problem. And part of the challenge that we've had, the past sheriff was a Republican, and the county commission before I got on it was all five Democrats. And so there was not the support there for the sheriff that needed to be there.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, folks, we're talking to Ben Ross, and I've got a little bit of Lubin Brothers, considered to be the greatest duet, the greatest harmony duet in the history of country music. And the real high singing you hear is called keening, and that was Charlie Lubin, and he was the one who was absolutely out of his gourd. But anyway, we'll be right back. We're going to find out more. 523-1450 to call in and talk to Ben Rawson about the county. Share with him your concerns, your questions, your aspirations. Feel free. He's a very friendly listener. We'll be right back. It's 732 on KOBE, the Kelly O'Connell Show. And it's getting warm outside. It's going to be a nice day, up to 72. Be right back.
He's so cute. He's a friendly guy.
Online, which means fewer costs, which saves money. Their customer experience is virtually paperless, which saves paper.
And I hope you're doing well. I've got Ben Rawson, and I've got a phone call here. Thanks for calling Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's me again.
Yeah, Mike, how's it going?
Hey, Kelly, did you mention that they're going to put smart meters on the homes in Las Cruces?
No. What have you found out about that?
Well, I heard that this last hour. I don't know if it was in the news or what, but they said they were going to, and that's part of Agenda 21, and people get really sick when they put those meters on their homes.
Yeah.
I don't know if
Yeah, that's sick from what though?
I don't know. I was gonna government go on InfoWars. Alex Jones, he got a whole thing on it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, but it, look, if they're forcing people to put green charging stations into houses, then they would certainly put a smart meter on.
Yeah, I mean, there's communities that have protested against that. You know, people that want off their homes. You know.
Yeah. Well.
I mean, this town does everything that Agenda 21 wants them to do.
Hold on.
You know what I mean?
People never listen to me, but here, Kelly, I'll put you on hold. Yeah, keep going, Mike.
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, who's behind this this smart meter thing? You know, I mean, is it the power company or El Paso?
Somebody stupid. Hey, I know you're a dog lover. I want to read a quote to you, okay? You're probably the top dog lover I've ever known in my whole
life.
Mike, listen, for God's sakes, for once, listen to me. Just listen.
I always listen to you.
All right. If you always listen to me, then listen to me. All right. Check this out. This is from Bill McCamley, the gay evangelist. He just said this on the floor. Quote, "We don't have any feral horses where I live, but we do have packs of wild chihuahuas running around. And the Las Cruces animal shelter is overcrowded. Why don't we just export the dogs to Korea to be slaughtered for food?" Says Representative. Just listen to me, Mike, for God's sakes. Representative William J. Bill McCamley said this during the debate about a ban on horse slaughtering by the House Agricultural Water and Wildlife Committee. That was yesterday. Do you have a message for Mr. Bill McCamley?
Yeah, I would tell him to go F himself, you know? I mean,
what the?
You know, Kelly, this guy is like, why does he go on YouTube, look at some of these videos of what they eat the dogs in North Korea. They skin them alive and then they eat them.
Mike, this
maybe he should be up there with Kim Jong, whatever that.
Easy. Now listen, he's being menaced by packs of wild chihuahuas around his house. You may not understand the danger.
I think we should send PETA over there and have to do an interview with him.
Bill McCamley, shame on you for trying to wipe out these poor little chihuahua packs. So
he also likes to go after teenage girls, right?
He did chase a teenage girl down the street and yelled, was it obscenities? Was it, he may have been quoting the Russian national anthem to her. I don't know, but, he was very angry. She was terrified. He treated her, you know what he treated her like? A wild chihuahua.
Terrible.
Mike, anything else?
No, I was just curious about Kelly on this, smart meter thing.
I'll find out. Let's do me a favor, do some research and then do a report for us. Okay.
Infowars.com.
Thanks, buddy. All right. You got to go.
Kelly, did you have another caller?
We did, but it may have been Bill. It may have been Bill McCamley. He may have been in his house ready to speak when he saw a pack of wild chihuahuas chewing on his telephone line, you know?
Well, Kelly, let me drop back to the gross receipts tax real quick if I can before I need to leave here.
Absolutely.
But I do want all of your listeners.
Here's the call. Thanks for the call to Kelly Connell Show. Who's this?
Morning, it's Karen.
Yes, Karen.
I just wanted people to realize that if we don't all come together and really fight to keep local talk radio on, all the information that Ben has brought on over the past year, we're not going to get that anymore. Or Miguel, all our important local stuff. For there's a lot of people who don't read the local paper. I do, but you know, we're gonna lose so much without you and Keith.
Well, Keith's gone. We've got to get a non-fat sweetener to take his place. But I'm going to call out to Walt Rubel to come on the show. Walt, I'll give you all of the freedom of speech that you don't get in any of these communist countries.
You know what would be interesting, though, Kelly, is if you guys had to share time, if you had you and then, you know, somebody who's like Keith, to go back and forth like you and Phil used to go, even though Phil leans more to the right. That would be interesting also.
Do I understand you're offering to be my manager, it sounds like, and produce the show?
But we're gonna hey, lose so much
I understand, but listen for a second. This is the sound of an angry chihuahua barking. All right, here's the sound of another angry. This is the type of thing that Bill McCamley has to deal with every day. This could be right outside his door. That's an angry chihuahua, folks. All right, so what do you think about this plan to send packs of wild chihuahuas to North Korea to so they're processed?
I missed that. I don't even know what you guys, because
well,
I was
Bill
outside.
Bill McCamley has said, what, can I read here? I've got the quote right here. And this came, he said this on the floor, and I don't know if he was freebasing before or afterwards. I have to just speculate here, but okay, so this is, all right, quote of the day from the media roundup. We don't have any feral horses where I live, but we do have packs of wild chihuahuas running around. Hold on just a second, I need a sound, I need some sound blips here. We don't have any feral horses where I live. This is Bill Legay, Evangelist McKinley. But we do have packs of wild chihuahuas running around, and the Las Cruces Animal Shelter is overcrowded.
He just wants to be petted. Let's go pet him. Whoa. What happened?
It's like Cujo. It's just terrifying. Why don't we just export the dogs to Korea to be slaughtered for food? Representative William J. Bill McKinley. I mean...
Did he really say that?
He said it. That is a quote from this. Does anybody know this guy? Can they go do a mental health check on his? Can they see if maybe he is trapped in his adobe dwelling by packs of wild dogs, chihuahuas?
Back to my point, though, I think that's what helped get Ben elected, because we got to hear him and we got to hear the issues. And it's probably what's going to get Miguel elected as mayor, because we all got to hear him and get to know him. And we're going to lose a valuable asset.
Page 8 of the media roundup. And Bill McCamley was in just furious form yesterday. So anyway, so somebody hung up on us. Thanks for calling in nonetheless. Feel free. Hey, by the way, if you call in, feel free to hang up at any time. But here is what Bill McCamley's dealing with every day.
What happened? What happened?
I just imagine this little fella coming after Bill McCamley's Achilles tendon, you know? But anyway... we've got Ben Ross in here, County Commissioner. You want people to know about the gross receipts.
I want people to contact me. I'll give you my phone number. It's 575-649-4153, 649-4153. Contact me or your other county commissioners about the gross receipts tax increase. It is on the agenda for later this month. This is not like the last three county gross receipts tax increases that the voters have voted down. This one will just be voted on by the five county commissioners because, after all, after you told us three times, we already know that you're not in favor of this. So
yeah, and Mr. Hancock, can you keep your hands off the county purse for just a few moments?
Well, you know, Kelly, we've got this situation is we do have a problem with the sheriff's department, and we need to be replacing vehicles. And I'm proud to say that last year we budgeted 15 vehicles, and we've got another 15 budgeted for this year.
Fantastic. We got a call, another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly Kona Show. Who's this?
It's Patty.
Patty, God bless you. Citizen journalist. What's going on?
they have a lot of, they're asking for more money privately, by the way. We need to quit sending them. I'm telling you.
What if some of the money was used to go after some of these feral bands of very vicious chihuahuas?
You mean Bill McCamley himself?
Well,
he's a zombie. Why don't we go after the zombies in this job?
Holy
he likes to be a zombie.
Bill McCamley is a zombie chihuahua leader. Okay, I got it.
I think that's what we should do. I'll even pitch in some money for that.
He is a psychopath.
He is a very much a psychopath. I wanted to say something about the smart meters. They've already installed them in this town. Everywhere.
What happened?
I'm sorry, but that is the kind of thing that McCamley's dealing with every day.
Kelly, I do want to point out that
that's an angry chihuahua in the background.
You can get some better sound clips by going over to the animal shelter up on Highway 70. No, they do a great job up there, and I want I do want to give a shout out. I know they are overcrowded, and if anyone's looking for a pet, go on up there and take a look.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the sound of one Chihuahua whining. Anything else?
Well, no, that's all. We've got bigger problems than his problem with a Chihuahua. You know, I'll take care of it.
I'm working on it. Thank God bless you. Have a great day. Okay. We got bigger fish or canines to fry, right? I mean, am I right there? That's the sound of a very nervous Chihuahua that just saw Bill McCamley. But anything else?
That's it, Kelly. Thanks for having me on.
Great day. Well, folks, we'll be right back.
Here's your Las Cruces and Southern New Mexico forecast.
It's Kelly here. Good morning to you. There is a sinister development out there. The sinister development is apparently Bill McCamley, Bill the gay prophet, has been menaced by packs of wild Chihuahuas. Can you imagine the stress that he's under? My word. And so he said, forget about horse meat. Apparently this is a situation where it's either one or the other. Let's not kill horses for their meat. Let's export these very dangerous and menacing bands of feral wild Chihuahuas away from his apartment cluster and get them over to North Korea where they can be of some use. Here is a little clip of some angry Chihuahuas. Imagine the mental suffering he's under. My word. That's just one angry Chihuahua. There's others, of course. Here's another one. I've got another. Folks, Bill McCamley needs your support. Let's export these wild, vicious Chihuahuas. I've got more, of course. Angry Chihuahuas. They could be nipping at your heels, not just Bill's. That's little nips. That's what a little nip sounds like. Anyway, Bill McCamley is in favor of exporting these little puppies over to North Korea so they can be turned into, apparently, pizza toppings. So let him know. Look him up in the phone book and let him know if you support his idea of exporting the very dangerous live capture of wild Chihuahua packs and sending them to North Korea. It's an idea. And you know what? It could be a business opportunity. Don't turn your nose up on that. Anyway. All right. So we've got this meeting on Thursday. Please consider going to this thing. 1:30 p.m. in the commission chambers at the county building on Motel Boulevard, Thursday the 5th. And it'll probably last the afternoon, so bring a lunch. And there's going to be a consultant putting on a show, some sort of a planning and zoning commission workshop. Please consider going to this thing and commenting on it, taking part, but call back to the show and let me know how it was. And here's the thing. When I went to the meeting that I heard this about in, I was informed that it had to do with a program for sustainable growth or smart growth or whatever. When you hear, see those terms, you know that it has to do with global, the crowd that supports global warming, that is looking to fight back against, you know, too much growth and a rampant capitalism, that type of thing that we've been very, very effective at avoiding so far in this county. I mean, you know, we put on 300 jobs last year, but it's tie it in your mind to Agenda 21 and be aware of the fact that they are changing things. As you heard, smart meters are coming in. They want to put in charging ports for green cars. They, speaking of crowds of wild chihuahuas, they think we're going to get crowds of green cars here. I don't see it happening based on following the sector. By the way, there's this abundance of oil in the United States. It's light, sweet crude. They can't process it here, and they can't export it because of the law. So we're well on the way to becoming 100% full in all of our storage unit, our storage capability, which is centered in Oklahoma. I think a small town in Oklahoma is kind of the crossroads of these pipelines. But anyway, thanks for tuning in. We're just got a few, maybe about a minute left here, but appreciate you listening in. And people were asking if they wanted to give some feedback to the just let people know what you think of the show or give them. And that is Blog Talk Radio. If you want to go there, look up my name and you can hear the show from today. 527-1111 is the number to call in and let them know what you want. Anyway, I'll take you out with some Kentucky, the Leuven Brothers, beautiful country music. We'll see you back in 24 hours. Have a great day. KOBE, Kelly O'Connell. Ciao.
Your graceful mind.